This is RSVNB Update, episode 424, recorded Saturday, August 3rd, 2013. Hands versus hands. Hello, everybody, and thank you for being with us for this edition of RSVNB Update. We hope you will enjoy your time with us this week, as we've got a slim selection of RS updates as we are heading towards the release of a specific skill. But first, for the first time in a couple months, King Kola is here, a.k.a. Patrick. He edits most of the Informer articles.
Hello, everyone.
It's so nice to have you back on here, you know, being a fellow Canadian and whatnot.
Oh, it's nice to be back, Shane. Thank you very much.
Yes. Yeah, we do lots of talking to each other over the StarCrafts and everything, but it's very rare that we get him on this to share his jovial sense with you guys. So.
Oh. Well, I try.
All right. And who else is here as per usual?
Oh, no. You always come to forget me every once in a while.
No. I like to let you introduce yourself.
Hi, y'all. It's Trekkie here. What up, dog?
Very interesting.
I'm surprised Shane didn't forget you, because every time I'm on, he always forgets about you.
Trekkie. Or Mike. Basically anyone else besides me, isn't it?
Oh, who could forget about you, Trekkie?
Yes. So. Does the King Kola have any desires to come back and participate in the Battle of Lumbridge?
It does seem rather interesting.
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't call it interesting when you got two of the gods fighting each other right in the Lumbridge Swamp?
Yeah.
And you realize there aren't a bunch of crazy worshippers going up to them chanting.
Well, that just sounds like, you know...
Old hippie people?
Well, what used to happen in, like, Varrock World 1, where you'd have a bunch of crazy people chanting at you, except they'd be, you know, trying to sell you something, but I guess it's different now.
Yeah, I'd like to see people come and try and sell stuff on the battlefield while chanting towards their favorite god. That would be interesting, to say the least, but anyways.
Be funny.
I think we should print a holy book over. Right. Holy books, you know, yeah. The Samarak and Saradomin books.
Yeah. You know, that's a good point. With all the with what people have worshipped for so many years, it's surprising that we're not seeing the more role playing side of the community coming out and worshipping at the feet of the gods. You know,
I'll do it.
Okay,
you join me, Shane. We'll do it.
All right.
We'll do it later today. Aren't we both Saradomin?
Yes, that's true. It's true. We got to expel the evil ones.
I'm sure there's some prophets out there that are making profits on the war.
Yes, you know that is true, except the prophets never really made profit on that one show. They just always watched out with a open and closed hand. But anyways, yeah. Moving on. Currently Saradomin is still winning. I think last night when I looked, it was still about 12 million ahead, if I remember correctly. So
yeah, it still is.
Okay.
I just came from there.
So it's going to take a while, if anything, for Zamorak to catch up to this, and it's not looking promising. But I guess that's where things are going to get interesting in the coming week, because this week people of each faction will be deciding which of the reinforcements to bring in. Now, Sarah Domas can choose between the powerful centaur healing champion and the mighty ranged colossus. We were having a bit of a laugh before the show, weren't we there?
Yes. The ranged colossus is a unit in StarCraft 2, actually. So that's why we thought it was kind of funny.
But apparently the healing champion is winning, right?
Yeah.
By how much?
It's quite a bit.
Okay.
More than half.
Zamorakian forces will be able to choose between the lesser demon champion and the sheer destructive force of the siege tank. I mean, siege beast. Any idea which one's winning on that side? Are we able to see, since we're not on Zamorak's side?
Nope.
Aw, that's too bad. So, that's what's happening this week, and we're heading into week three now that we're hearing this. So, there's only one more week left before the next tier of equipment unlocks. So if you don't have all the renown that you want, I highly recommend that everybody take this week and gather what resources they want so you can purchase your items and whatnot and be ready to start again on tier two items. So
please don't forget your free experience.
Yeah, but it's really not that much free XP. I mean, it's only 5 per when you collect one.
Hey, not too bad.
Also, you can go to Duke Horatio in Lumbridge, and you express your opinion to him, and he will give you free bonus experience. And this choice will also continue to change the face of the town. So talk to Duke Horatio and give him your opinion on what is going on. So that's as to what is happening in-game with this. Now, looking out a bit to the player's perspective, a couple of changes have been made to smoothen up the battle experience. First up, load balancing of the battlefield is active again, so that means that if there's too many critters on one field, you'll get instanced into another one, which is always good. Since you don't want to be dealing with frame rate issues and whatnot. Armor rewards into the God Wars dungeon now count towards that specific god. So let's just say you claim the hybrid armor and you're a Ceridoman. Good way of fighting spiritual mages, perhaps. Also, number of soldiers that can spawn are increased on the battlefield, and they've also addressed an issue with the high score table, in which people were seeing their score higher than it actually was in-game. If you see your high score table entry go down, don't worry, you've not been penalized. It's just displaying your correct score now. You know, this led to a couple of issues on the forums, in that people were thinking that each side was being artificially inflated by Jagex. This could be the case, but without it being, of course, publicly acknowledged and just being the general perception of a community, we really can't substantiate those claims. Anything else we should mention on this battle report? I don't think so.
Let's see, Sarah Doman's winning slightly, but, you know, if Samurak was smart, he'll have an infiltrator tickle him under the arm, make him lose his concentration, and blast him into oblivion.
Maybe that's what the Siege Beast is going to do.
We are God, ticklish.
That's a good question. Well, maybe, because they do have a physical
presence. Actually, you know, depending on what side you're on, we have powers of gut things. We can, you know, summon fluffy feathers and tickle them under the armpit of either gods. Or, you know, you're like, we could shoot rainbows out of our fingers.
Okay. What exactly does rainbows refer to?
It's lovely and sweet and everything nice, and so Zamrak's gonna hate it and gonna get sick of it and try to swat it away, but he can't because it's made of pure light, and therefore he gets to his own and get the upper hand.
Okay.
It makes me wonder, with like gods battling outside of his city, how do Horatio has managed to actually stay alive through all this?
Well, there's like a big hole in the wall of the castle.
Yeah, that's not exactly a good thing, is it?
No.
Well, not for him, at least.
Actually, if you kind of also think about, well, remember, it's a government-owned land. It's going to take them forever to fix, build anything. I mean, look at Edgeville.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing's still burning, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, I'm just going to check this Duke Horatio thing right now, and maybe he is cowering in fear somewhere.
He's a double agent.
Doesn't he normally sit on the top floor of Lumbridge Castle?
Oh, second floor. He's the one that gives the shield.
Right. The Dragonfire Shield. Okay. Got it.
The free one.
Yes. Right, that's the Anti-Fire Shield. Anyways,
it's the Anti-Dragon Shield, actually. The Anti-Fire Shield was the more expensive one, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Because there were two different versions of it.
Yeah.
Three, one for range, one for magic, and one for melee.
So there's five different versions now.
There are?
Yep.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean.
All right. So, where are we? Okay. So moving on from the Battle of Lumbridge, oops, I should turn those noises off, shouldn't I? Oopsies.
You heard that.
Yes. So moving on from the Battle of Lumbridge, we got the behind the scenes for August. Now, August is looking like a very quiet month with only two updates. But one of those updates is the skill called Divination. So we finally get a bit of a peek as to what the skill's going to consist of. Give us a rundown. That rundown you gave us earlier there. That was pretty good. Pretty good way of describing it.
Which one?
The rundown you gave us in pre-show.
Well, about the divination thing?
Yeah.
That it's a hippie skill where you have to collect the positive energy floating around people and hopefully build up good karma and chi and all that good hippie stuff.
Yeah. That's right. So that's what the... Oh my! Oh my! Funny thing happened the other day. One of the guards found a severed hand just lying in the courtyard. It gave poor Hans quite a fright. I noticed that it had Sigmund's Sigmund ring on it. It looked like it was the old villain met his end. Well, I can't say I'm sorry. I've heard that the Ham group is getting less militant as well. It looks like a lot of the goblins can sleep more easily in their beds now.
Trying to figure out what accent you were doing there.
I don't know, but that's what Duke Horatio told me.
He was trying to act Scottish, but, well, he was basically Dano trying to act Scottish.
More like a Canadian who was trying to act Scottish.
No, he's Canadian.
Yeah, you know,
exactly.
I totally forgot about the Duke's dilemma. I'm going to have him form a people's militia.
Oh, I didn't do that. I told him to legitimize the Thieving Guild.
That's funny. Wow, 18k construction XP. That's nice. Okay, so let's legitimize the Thieving Guild and form a people's militia. All right, sorry about that little distraction there. I just had to talk about the guy's severed hand, which gave Hans quite a fright.
Okay.
Well, of course it would give Hans quite a fright because, you know, Hans don't want to be severed from their limbs.
Okay.
Hans and Hans, you know, like Han, H-A-N-D, and H-A-N-S.
Yes, so. Hans.
Yes. All right, so you think divination is going to be the hippie skill?
It is a hippie skill.
Yeah, because...
Think about it. Did you talk about the behind the scenes? We didn't talk about the video yet, right?
No, we didn't. And the video gives more information.
We'll talk about it. I'll talk more about it when you get to it.
All right, so we'll save that for the video then. But there's also a quest this month called The Death of Chivalry, and it replaces the Black Knight's Fortress quest, that free-to-play quest. So,
oh, the one where you got to infiltrate the castle?
Yeah, yeah. That
I like that one. That was a good one.
Yeah, that replaces it.
Oh, well, it better be good then.
Yeah. So, I'll just read a bit for you. So basically, you're joining Sir Owen as he tries to once again infiltrate the Black Knight's Fortress. So it's kind of the same thing, except it's based purely on the sixth age this time, rather than just being a quest for infiltration purposes. So some of the things in this quest are going to be swords, sorcery, damsel in distress, and they say that aside from this, it's not going to be a traditional fairy tale. There's also a dark mystery and hard choices that'll make you question what you know, and perhaps even where your loyalties lie. Now here's where things get interesting. Choices you've made at the Battle of Lumbridge and elsewhere in the game will be reflected in the content, and your decisions will affect the quest's ending. And then they also see if you can spot the nod to the Black Knight's Fortress quest, which this replaces, and to the RuneScape novels too. We should get someone on the show who's read the RuneScape novels for this quest when it comes out.
Has anyone read those novels here with the forum?
I don't know. If you've read the novels, please do send one of us a private message on the forums at rsbnb.com/forums. That would be great.
Giggity.
Yeah. But also... With this update, they are completely redoing the look of the Black Knight's Fortress as well. Characters are fully voiced. Sarah Doman will be making an appearance in this quest. And orchestral music, which is on the same level as the music that now opens with the game. So, definitely going to be a very interesting quest to do.
Oh, so we don't have to have a bronze helmet and an iron chainmail now, do we?
No, it says there's no entry requirements.
Say it.
Free player and members quests. Rewards include a unique shield with an emote, a choice of knightly titles, and an item that lets you replay the quest cutscenes.
Cool.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that tells me that this quest is going to be fairly important, much like the opening cutscene was in Lumbridge. Because what they did for the Battle of Lumbridge, for anybody that doesn't know, is they teleported everybody to Lumbridge right off the bat. So no matter where you were, you got teleported to Lumbridge to watch this cutscene.
It was quite good, except yeah, I was cowering fear like a little sissy.
Well, you know, you'd do that anyways.
Hey! Wimp.
No, that's you. And there's also some... No, but if I could, I would.
So could I. It's right down the street.
Oh, really?
Yes. Ah.
Okay, well, I'll put you on the pat-down list as well. There are also some cracking post-quest rewards for members too, including full cosmetic override, righteous helpings of prayer, and combat XP. And there's and the extra rewards will require 80 strength and 65 prayer. So what do you guys think? You think this is going to come out before or after Divination?
I think this may introduce a little introduction to Divination. Because remember, Sarah Doman's coming in, so it might be one of those things where, like, I'm going to try and kill you.
Apparently there's a plane coming in, too.
Or if you want.
Yeah, you know, you're right. This could be the introduction to Divination, because they did say that Divination would be introduced by a quest similar to Summoning and Herblore. So,
you know, what I'm kind of thinking of is, You know, as Zeradomin is like, "Be gone, you stupid, you immortal," like, oh, nothing happened. And that's when you probably start, like, have a flashback of, you know, into a white room with people talking with you in Gunthic's voice.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
And that's when, like, you have my power, use it. And that's when they start to do the whole divination process. But what I'm kind of hoping for is that, you know how we already have the elite Black Knight armor from that quest a long time ago? I want to be able to, I'm aware of that doing while I'm doing the quest and see what will happen.
Yeah, you know.
Just for kicks and giggles. I wonder if they'll like.
What happens to that?
Because we still have it. It was like, we haven't done anything with it. And it would be nice to go in there and be like, General! Oh, carry on, soldier. Good job.
Yeah,
your sergeant
be a,
voice is very good.
That would be a good way of making it through the quest easily. So, all right. So, quest looks good. Always nice to see these lore based quests come in, especially with RS3 now fully in action. So. All right, let us move on. Improved loyalty program and Solomon's store merge.
Okay.
This is what you and I have been waiting for forever. They're merging the two, so you'll be able to use your loyalty points now to purchase things from Solomon's store.
Sweet. I don't know. How much do I have right now? I have no idea.
I don't know. I have 95,000 worth.
Really?
Yeah, because they've just been gathering up and haven't been being used that much.
Let me see. Log in. Password. Shane is noob. Oops.
Also, I don't know how people are going to feel about this, but you'll be able to purchase a selection of loyalty store items with rune coins if you want. Although auras and higher tier loyalty cosmetics will remain exclusively as loyalty point items. I think that's fine. That's an acceptable stance on microtransactions for this. What do you guys think?
I don't have a problem with it. I mean, come on, you know, loyalty points is free, and if people don't want to, you know, you don't want, it's like any other game, you don't want to wait, pay right now. Ooh, you know how many loyalty points I have, Shane? 159,000. Like, I just spent jacks.
Yeah.
So what could that get you?
I don't know. There's nothing here as to the conversion rate, but I'm thinking you might be able to buy the Solomon's emotes and cosmetic overrides potentially as well. But you know what you could spend those points on? What is going to be the first thing we're all going to buy? The rest of the bank boosters.
That's a good idea.
I mean, why not? Yeah. We have all these points. Just buy the bank boosters and off we go.
That's to get more bank space, right?
Yes, yes. Each one gives you 50 more bank space. And now you can just purchase them with real money.
Is that permanent or temporary?
Yep, permanent.
Oh, that's handy.
Yeah, I think it's on the order of $5 or something like that. Really not that expensive at all, if you wanted to do that. Also, they're going to be buffing the amount of loyalty points rewarded to the longstanding members, including yearly milestone item rewards. So staying a member will be more rewarding than it's ever been. You know, this sounds good, I think.
You know what's my little pet peeve with this?
What?
They still don't have my title that I want.
What title's that?
My lord.
Oh.
They still don't have it. They have king, and that's about it. No,
but
king
is lord better than my lord.
My lord.
He just wants to say my lord a lot.
Yeah. Lord. My lord, J1, J2, J3.
You suck.
Anyways.
I know what I said, Kala. Be quiet.
Anyways,
okay,
moving on
my lord.
This, the Battle of Lumbridge. this is what's most interesting to me. There will be more powerful combatants joining in the fray and new tiers of rewards. Well, we knew that much. Who do you think is going to be joining in?
There'll be more powerful combatants. Well, we have a lot of monsters from the God Warrior dungeon. I'm sure some of them will make an appearance again. Ogres, tigers, and bears. Oh, my.
Well, Bandos probably will come in on one side or the other. Probably Zamorak, maybe.
Why would he even come in there? You know, I just remember I didn't do the what is it? Prayer statues yet. I better do those.
Okay. Not sure how that relates, but always good to do those. That's a nice little thing to do at the start of
the
month.
No, you reminded me with the whole Bandos thing, and it wasn't Bandos land.
I don't know. I personally think Bandos and Armadil are going to appear. Zeros is too much behind the scenes of a type of creature to be doing anything in this anyways. So, all right. So that's behind the scenes. Now let's talk about divination. So, divination part one, the hippie skill, as you so call it. Basically, we were partially right with what we thought divination was going to be. Essentially, what this first part of this video shows us is that divination is going to be a gathering skill, kind of like the other gathering skills we know from various places around the world. You're going to gather chunks of this energy that has filled the world after Guthix's demise. So you've gather this energy, level up divination, and then you're going to be able to make certain items for the pocket slots or thing to have in your inventory. A couple of examples I gave in this video, if you haven't watched it yet, are that you're going to be able to make an item, or rather something for the pocket slot, that will automatically heal you once you reach a certain threshold of health. That's one example of it. They're also going to make it harder to or make it easier to avoid killing blows, that sort of thing. So it's going to be a support skill, I think. The only thing I'm kind of confused of with this is that I thought divination was supposed to be part one, where you gather the stuff, and then the next skill next year was supposed to be the one where you combine this and make something. But I guess we could still do that.
I don't know. We were kind of hoping that it would kind of you'll be able to unlock some knowledge of the gods and help your other skills. But in a way, that's what it seems to be leading toward that way. And, you know, that's just the end of it. It's a cross between fishing, runecrafting, and hunter. So I guess it's kind of like, you know, you have the AFK aspect of it, of hunter and fishing and runecrafting. And you have to find these places like hunter does. And depending on what you find is how much XP you'll get. So what I'm guessing is, like, if you enter certain areas, they'll have like very high, powerful wells that open up, and they give a lot more experience, I guess. And you have one lower ones, which doesn't give us much, but you can, in higher ones, you don't know how to use it effectively, and that drives you insane.
Or, Kala, do you have anything based on what you read about divination, or what do you think?
I'm not sure. We'll see how useful it is and if it fits well into the other skills, I suppose, when it comes out. Do you think it's mostly just going to be a non-combat thing, or if it's going to involve everything?
Well, it sounds like it's going to involve everything, because there are ones to make it so that if you're going to get hit by a finishing blow, it won't kill you right off the bat, and things to auto-heal you. So combat-based and skilling in general. So I think it's going to be fairly widespread.
Which means it's probably going to be more useful than something that, you know, just sticks to one certain aspect of RuneScape.
Yeah, exactly. Which is good, because there are things that in the past have just been kind of stagnant, I think. Whereas if this is something that can get people training skills and interested in the lore, for people who aren't, that's always good in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, another example of one is that if you die with one of these things equipped, you'll keep another item. So that's kind of the support thing we're looking at, I guess. All right. I don't think there's anything else to talk about divination. That was just part one of the BTS video. Part two will be coming out next week, supposedly. So definitely look forward to hearing more about it. Maybe we'll ask the listeners a question. What do you guys think divination will be, given what we've heard? Do you think it will be a skill focused around everything, improving all aspects of your skills in game, or will we see divination focus on little pockets of skills and vastly improve them? All right. Anyway,
we'll see.
Yep. I'm pretty much done with RS updates, so if you guys are, we could move on.
Sure.
All right.
Always ready for our questions.
Yes, we got two audio questions this week, but it's more like seven. So we'll just play it right now. First one's from Marumska.
Hello, Nick, Xenophon, Shane, and Temple Tricky. How you doing? Marumska here. I'm back from my RS break, and I wanted to do some herbal training, which led me to look in my bank. Found out about 2,000 Cerodomen brews, so I went to the Grand Exchange, tried to buy those Cerodomen wine. No cigar. They keep going up every day. So which leads me to do it the hard way. Get 95 farming and farm them. Shane, currently I'm at level 85. What do you suggest? I guess I have a lot to choose from, since I can pretty much plant everything except for the recently new stuff. Did you guys pick up anything from the steep sale? After all these years, I finally got Elder Scrolls 6! Skyrim! Gee, I'm having a blast. But oh well, back to RuneScape now. And also, how do I add my Scottum banner to my signature? I still haven't got around to do that yet. And I have no idea. I was wondering if you could tell me how to do that. Recently, I accidentally typed my name in Google and found out I was a player of WoW in Europe. Not that I play WoW. I was wondering, has anybody on the internet stole or took your identity on the internet? That's it for now. Talk to you next week. Marumska out.
All right, so that was actually four questions, but that works. All right, so farming level 85 to 96 for the grapevine seeds. Essentially, what you need to do at this stage of the game is deal with trees. Because if you're not dealing with trees, your experience will be slow and unbearable. Now, if you got a huge collection of money available, the choice is obvious to go for palm trees and magic trees. But if you don't have that kind of money, the most sustainable way of farming is to do something along the lines of maple trees and pineapples, or maybe papayas, depending on how much those are going for currently in the marketplace and what you can sell them for. Because remember, pineapples are good for protecting, as are papayas. So those are both useful end products to sell or keep on your own. You will keep that. And then after that, you will need to... I just read something here on the Twitters that is... potentially a problem for Western civilization, but I'll get to that in a bit.
Okay.
Yeah. Could be a big issue. But anyways, moving on from this, from that thing. Maples and pineapples, that's a very cheap way to go. And most of the time you're able to recoup your cost of this simply by doing herb farming runs. Now, in doing herb farming runs, the way it used to work is you would do maybe 3 or 4 herb farming runs a day, and you could make the money back from that. I haven't looked at this way of doing farming in a little while, so I'm not entirely sure on which herbs you do and how many of them per day. But in order to assist yourself in the calculations, I recommend setting up a Grand Exchange portfolio with the herbs you want and the trees that you want, and then just run some numbers on that. So do that. And also, if you have the level, I don't remember what level these are at, but potato cactus, if you want to grow those, you could potentially check on those, because that is a requirement for the magic potion, which is, of course, a requirement for the extreme magic potion, which people use. So that's another thing you can do to bring money in. Another thing that are stupidly expensive are cactus spines. So cactus spines as well, you can get about 3 of them per hour. So if you just keep checking back at that Alcarid place, you can make some good money from that as well. So the way to do farming is really to be self-sufficient. I think that covers that one. Another thing you can do, I'm not sure what the price of these are, but the butterfly seeds. You can plant the butterfly flowers and then harvest the ruby harvest butterflies and sell those or use them for summoning later. That's just a nice bit of XP in the end. But the reason why you're not seeing this, these wines appear on the exchange, is because farmers don't have the incentive to farm them, because you lose 30,000 GP whenever you farm them, because you need 4 of them, and there's no guarantee you're going to get the good wine that you want. So, I mean, well, they're a nice idea to farm, but people don't farm them because they just lose so much money on them. So that's kind of unfortunate that they went that way. But I don't know, Muramska. You might want to look into a different kind of potion, alternatively, because Super Saradoan brews, you know, like if you made the Sara brews yourself, that would be one thing. But if you bought the Sara brews and then you're just looking to put the grapes and the wine together into them, that would be a bit more expensive. And I don't know if you'd want to do that. There might be a cheaper way of leveling herb lore.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next part, the Steam sales. Did you guys get anything?
I did, and I semi-regret it.
Don't you always?
What did you get? Steam sales.
Someone in the forum said that Just Cause 1 was on sale for 27 cents, so I remember I told you before I had about $1.50 in my Steam wallet, but I was too lazy to log into PayPal and too lazy to go get my wallet to buy anything. I said, screw it. So, well, I had $1.50 and it's like, oh, why not? 27 cents. Bought it, played a little bit, don't like it.
You paid 27 cents.
I know. I don't like it. Okay. I didn't say it was expensive. I didn't say I wasted money. I said, I don't like it.
Okay.
Ones, you know, you either like it or you don't with open world sandbox type games, I guess.
Yeah, it's just old.
Yeah.
It is an old game, but I died by the most mundane thing. I was like, why? Okay, I'm not shooting anyone. I'm not speeding. I'm actually freaking, like, you know, doing a 2-second rule behind the stupid NPC cars in front of me. Why the hell are you shooting me and trying to arrest me? So, yeah, that's basically it. I don't like it.
All right. Kala, did you get anything?
I got Assassin's Creed 3 because I was actually powering through Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, which I've now finished, and on to Revelations. So the next one after that is 3, so I was thinking if I'm playing that relatively soon, I'll probably want to get it, but I probably should have waited for it to go a bit cheaper, because it was only on for like... It was only on sale for 30% off, or 33% off, so I probably should have waited for another year or so. But, oh well, I've always liked the Assassin's Creed games, even though I don't really like Ubisoft that much.
I think Brotherhood was my favorite one. Brotherhood was good.
Definitely quite fun. I'm still partial to 2. There's just some sort of charm about it, you know?
Brotherhood was my favorite, but that's just me.
Yeah. Each one, everyone has their own favorite.
I got Train Simulator. That was on sale for 83% off.
Is that the one where there's like $1,000 worth of DLC for it?
Good question. I don't know.
Why did you buy that?
I like simulators. I like trains.
Mm-hmm.
Want to see if I can maybe avoid derailment, maybe? I don't know. Like you know, if I ever see a runaway train or something, I can use that to get into it and then recover it, maybe? So, that's pretty much all I did for that. And, you know, a regular... $60, get it for 80% off. Do the math. I'd say that's worth it. So, anyways, your skill of the month winning signature. What you need to do is you need to head on over to the skill of the month page for January 2013. And then you can right click on your signature, choose copy image URL. And then head on over to the forums, hover over user CP, and choose edit signature. Then you get the signature editing box. And what you need to do in there is simply copy and paste what you just put in your clipboard, and then highlight that text that is the signature URL. And then up above, you will see this button that says IMG. That'll encase what you... pasted in an image tag, and that will just make it appear as an image in your signature. Pretty simple, but that's how you edit your signature.
And that also works for any picture, not just your skill of the month win. You can do that with any picture you want. As long as they're within the signature size limits.
Of 600 by 300.
Kind of can't even remember the last time we actually had to resize a signature.
Yeah, it's been quite a while. People are generally pretty good with that. Anyways, have you ever Googled your name?
Oh, yeah, both my real name and my pseudonym on the internet. Most of them come up as me. Of course,
I'm not getting
it. Yeah.
I'm getting a Patrick ad at a certain university. He's a brother.
Oh, yeah.
Institute of Brothers of the Christian Schools. And he doesn't look at all like you.
No. No, there's also myname.net, and I'm also in Wikipedia, apparently. And there's a lot of my name... out there in the world, so none of them are me, but King Kola definitely is me. I think if you look that up, it shows as with the space, it shows me as my informer article, the one that I've done, the author page for me, so it shows all the roundups I did there. And there's also a lake called Lake Kola Kola. It shows my War of Legends profile from Jagex. It shows my Steam ID. A lot of other things in there, too. And if you don't have it with the space, then it shows up as a happy birthday to King Kulla topic on the forums, which from 2011 from Shane. Oh, there's all sorts of neat stuff in there. Got the StarCraft profile. Oh.
Yeah, and if you look at mine, it's fairly accurate. It comes up with the RuneScape stats first. And Twitter.
Yeah. And your YouTube high scores.
Mm-hmm. Pretty old entries, but...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What about you?
Who is my own name? Well, J1. Last time I Googled my RS name, I ended up in, what is it? One of those self-made sites, and it was an RS fan site that someone made, but you remember way back when?
You're saying the same thing I'm seeing.
Yes.
J1J2J3 is the postal code from Sherbrooke,
Quebec. It's Sherbrooke, Quebec.
That's a postal code. That's really funny.
You realize I didn't make this account, right? And I don't want to change. And I don't want to change it because I will lose it, but... forget it.
That's pretty interesting.
Move on.
And it does your high scores and everything. That's cool.
Alright. And identities ever stolen? No, not online. And not in real life. So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I have either, to be honest. I think I would be flattered if someone tried to steal my identity, to be honest.
Yeah, that would mean you're important, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, they say.
Yep. All right. Anything else on this?
Yeah, we covered everything. By the way, Shane, I have a copy of Just Cause 1 if someone wants it.
No, that's
bought one for me, and I bought one as a gift to give to someone. So maybe I'll keep it for a present or something.
How nice of you! A 27-cent gift.
Well, now it's not on sale. It goes up to $5.
Yeah, so it's a $5 gift, you jerk.
All right. Let us...
I think I have Just Cause 2, and I've never played it yet.
I do as well.
Yeah.
Is there a co-op mode?
I don't know.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. Oh, one thing I did want to mention, that you referred to Skyrim as the Elder Scrolls 6. It's only 5. The 5th one is Skyrim.
Yes, and
so the
6th
one hasn't come out yet.
And you should trust King Kulla on this. He's spent about how many hours on that?
Not nearly as much as Earth, I don't think, but a fair amount. To begin with.
Okay,
looking it up, 64 hours. That's not many, but
that's not too bad.
I still haven't even advanced that far into it, but it's one where I keep going back to from time to time.
All right.
But yeah.
Thank you, Maramska, for that question. The next one is from Fish.
Dear Shane and Trekkie, Fish here. Shane, a few weeks ago I noticed that you said you supported the death policy. Now, it's a pretty controversial topic, and obviously the reason people have abolished the death penalty in the past, or countries, is because of the ability for judges, juries, and the people convicting, they can make mistakes, and it just seems like there's no real way to guarantee that someone is 100% guilty. And I was just wondering what policy or anything you would put in place to, well, pretty much guarantee someone's guilt or lack of innocence, or whatever. Onto a RuneScape-related question, whips. Now, ever since getting 85 Slayer about a week ago, I've gotten 5 whips as a drop, and they're around 80k to sell. And the Vine Whip was about 150k when I bought it from the GE, which, well, it's ridiculously cheap. And, well, I was wondering what your thoughts on this was, seeing as the Vine Whip compared to the Chaotic Longsword is, well, it's not that much worse compared to it in stats. But when you're comparing it with, you know, cost, it's much more efficient for something like Slayer or just, you know, basic training. So what are your thoughts on whips? Thank you. Fish out. And yes, I did steal Marumska's sign off.
All right, so the death penalty.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
First off, the only reason I support the death penalty is because here in Canada, it's possible to murder someone and be out on parole in 20 years. There's no such thing as a true life sentence. Unlike in the U.S., where somebody can get sentences of 1,500 years in jail, that doesn't happen in the U.S. In Canada, rather. A murderer can be out on parole in 20 years. And that just doesn't seem like it is a good thing to be happening. So as a result, the death penalty seems as though it is the next best option. Another thing like this. A convicted terrorist here in Canada, Omar Khadr, killed a bunch of Americans in Afghanistan, went to Guantanamo. He requested to come back to Canada because he was a Canadian citizen. So he comes back to Canada. And after killing a soldier in a war zone, he is now eligible for parole after that happened. And not even 8 years later, eligible for parole. So you can see where this comes from, in that our criminal sentencing system with regard to violent crime is inherently weak, and that is why I support the death penalty. With that being said, I'll turn this part of the question over to you guys, and then I'll come back and answer the actual question.
Just to correct your legalese there, the life sentence in Canada is not 20 years, it's 25 years parole, okay. Ineligibility period. So after 25 years, they are eligible to apply for parole, but they're not necessary. It's not guaranteed that they would get it. In fact, in some cases, they would just get denied year after year, even though they have a chance of it. But yeah, doesn't mean they're going to get it.
I just
wanted to clarify that that's how the law works in Canada.
Okay.
Not an opinion. I'll turn that over to Trekkie.
What's there to say? We have the death penalty here. And let's see. Last I remember, the guy that had the death penalty here in California tried to apply for parole, and you know, some people felt sorry for him, some people believe he changed, but in the end he still got executed for doing what he did. Which, and again, death penalty doesn't really work, because if you really think about it, if you're in the heat of the moment, you killed somebody. Remember in the U.S., there are 5 stages of killing someone. There's involuntary manslaughter, voluntary manslaughter, and the 3 degrees of murder. Someone who did something in the first degree is usually someone who basically planned it all out and basically stalked the person and basically came out with every idea you can think of how to kill it and everything else. Murder 2 and 3 is kind of like, I killed him, but it was the heat of the moment. He got me angry, so I took out a gun and I shot him. And voluntary and involuntary is like, oh, I did it in self-defense, or I hit him with a car. And, you know, the thing about, you know, people always don't disagree with me, but you know, as anyone will probably tell you, is that, you know, unless you're going for the first degree, which, like, you're basically going out to kill that person, most people, when they kill someone, they don't really think of, oh my God, if I kill you, I could be executed. They just did it because they were just so angry or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, those type of things, that's a different part of the justice system, and you can argue that to hell if you want, but most people want life and parole, but some people say that's a waste of money, but some people say that the whole process of convicting someone to be executed is cost more. So, it depends on you what sources you want to use.
So what safeguards would you put in place? Coming back to the actual question.
What safeguard would I put in place? Well, quite frankly, you just need a video camera. Because the video doesn't lie. Remember, here in the U.S., we had the whole Zimmerman trial. Whether you believe he shot
Trayvon Martin. Yeah.
Trayvon Martin in cold blood, that's up to you. If you believe he shot him in self-defense, it's up to you. Again, it's his word versus the other guy. But the other guy is dead. So, quite frankly, the whole is a tragedy. But the thing is that one, not to go all into it, if he had a video camera, basically say, he could defend himself or prove that he did whatever he did or did not do. And that wasn't there, so there's no hard document or no hard evidence saying, really knowing what happened. It's his word against the other guy, but the guy's dead. So, yeah, that's why a lot of police officers here, especially in Oakland, they're starting to mandate police officers carry a camera around with them at all times for every little thing. Doesn't matter, camera doesn't lie unless it gets tampered with. And if you tamper with it, well, you're pretty much covering up for something. You're screwed. And that's why, remember, what was that thing that happened a while ago? Remember that, Kala, you may not remember, but you remember that episode of Cops where these five LAPD officers were following this guy who had a knife in his arm and he tried to attack one of the officers and the officer shot him point blank.
Oh, was that recent case that just like?
Oh, this was like a good decade ago. It's an old episode of Cops.
Oh no, I don't remember it.
Yeah, I could probably dig it up if I wanted to, but basically when they took that video into the court system and the district attorney looked at it and said, "This is great." He basically attacked the officer first, and the officer shot him. There's no there was no. Oh, he did it because he wanted to stop him or anything. He did it because he was about to stab the officer. So, as I said, video camera. One phone proof, video camera.
I'd agree with that. But the question is, how do you take that out to person versus person killings rather than cop versus person? That's a bit of an
again,
issue.
It's you have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the other person killed him or her in self-defense or did it in cold-blooded murder.
Yeah.
You have to prove it. And it pretty much always ends up, he said, she said. Well, that guy's dead. He can't say anything now, can he?
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes basically his word versus testimonies from families that he was a good person and XYZ, but in the end result is the guy is still dead. He can't really defend himself, and it's basically up to the jury or the court or the judge to really determine, did he do it, or did he do it on purpose, or did he do it in self-defense, or whatever, what have you. So as I said, video camera, best sure-proof way.
All right.
I think it's a lose-lose situation, whether you use, whether you have the death penalty or if you have, just life in jail. I think as it stands right now in Canada, it's a bit too lenient. Like, if it's a life sentence, it should be a life sentence.
No parole for 100 years.
No, not 100 years, life. Just life. Just however long it takes for them to be dead in prison. That's pretty much it. Because once they're dead, they can't be punished anymore. However, I don't think that the death penalty is the correct option there because of, say, wrong convictions or, DNA evidence coming out. And there's new story every month of someone who was convicted for like 20 or 30 years and then finds out that they're actually innocent and then they've lost 30 years. Well, that's losing 30 years is better than, you know, losing your life if they're convicted under the death penalty. So that's one reason why I don't think it should be in place at all. But I also don't think if it's absolutely sure, like, say, someone like Clifford Olson or Robert Picton, I really don't think they should be even eligible for parole. Like... Yeah. In some cases, when, you know, it's very clear that they've done it, you know, I don't think they should be eligible for parole, and I don't think the 25 years is kind of bogus to be completely honest. Also interesting, in Canada, it's not just first degree murder, it's high treason as well. So anything where you're like, participating in a war against your own country.
Oh, or so we could get the child perished for that.
Attempting to... Well, he wasn't going against Canada, though. He was going against the States, which was different.
But we attempting were to overthrow...
Yeah, but it wasn't against him, though. It wasn't against Canada, though. That's the thing. That's why they couldn't get him on that charge. Anyways, the other one is like attempting to overthrow your own government. It's like, you know, the Guy Fawkes Day, how that worked. Spying on its military, diplomats, secret services for a hostile or foreign power, or attempting to kill its head of state. That would be high treason. So that would also be life prison. Interesting how laws work, to be honest. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. But really, it's a lose-lose scenario whether you go for death penalty or just life imprisonment, because on the one hand, you know, someone's dead, and if it turns out that they're innocent, then you can't exactly bring them back to life. And life imprisonment, it's such a drain on the taxes and everything. It just costs so much to imprison someone. And... everybody loses when someone commits a crime.
And that's why some people say that the death penalty is better.
Yeah, but I really don't think it is.
Yeah, well, a bullet is cheaper than life in prison, but we're not going to use a bullet anytime soon. Not again, anyway. That's what you love to say, Shane.
Well, it's true. Granted, there are more humane ways of doing it now.
And that remains... Well, that's up to you.
Sure.
Okay.
All right. Whippies. Yes. So, as Fish mentioned, the Vine Whip and the Whip in general are... pretty low in price. The Vine Whip, $90,000. The regular Whip, only $77,000. So you attach the two together and you got $167,000 value weapon, which is just slightly less than the Chaotic Rapier. And I think he's entirely right in this. I still use the Whip for everything as my primary melee weapon when I need slashage. I don't feel any need to upgrade to a Chaotic Longsword at all for this, so I am going to be sticking with the Whip, just as Fish mentioned. So it is level 70, so it's not too bad. I mean, level 75 with the Vine Whip on it, so I agree. Considering the amount of time it takes to put Dungeoneering tokens in to get 200,000 Dungeoneering credits, I say that's a pretty good trade. So, but on the other hand, you have past 99 Dungeoneering, so what do you think?
I just use double Chaotic Rapier, my Godsword, because those are weak to slash. I use my Godsword, and those are weak to crush. I use my Sarah Doman sword, and those are weak to stabby. I use my double rapier. The Whip, I don't know about the double long sword. The Whip has lost so much of its value, and it's just not a not the weapon it's designed to be anymore. There's nothing mid-range for people right now.
Well, there's the Abyssal Vine Whip. I mean, look at the Vine Whip. 720 damage, 1694 accuracy. Now, this is a slash weapon. So let's look at the Chaotic Longsword. Chaotic Longsword is a level 80 weapon compared to level 75. And now the differences are not going to be too much on these. 980 damage versus and 1924 accuracy versus, once again, 720 damage and 1694 accuracy. Now, the damage is less and the accuracy is less. But if you're just going for a weapon that is good for doing Slayer tasks, I don't see any problem with the whip.
Yeah, but for me, I can my Godsword does more damage, and it's slight, small AOE. But I don't know. I'm just planning on switching out with something. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I agree with Fish that the whip is probably a good way to go. The whip is a staple, and it's kind of unfortunate. I will say this: that there are no level 80. Weapons that are single-handed, that aren't dungeoneering-based. So, that's pretty much all I got to say on that one. I don't think there's anything else on this, unless Mr. Kala has anything.
Not really.
Yeah, these things didn't exist back in free-to-play now, did they?
No. How long ago is that now? God, like 6-7 years ago now?
Oh yeah, dear. That was back when Rune Scimitar was the best thing there was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking
of 6 years ago.
Oh?
Yeah. Next question.
Oh, yes. Okay. 2007. You can read it.
Oh, thanks. Okay. So this question is from Veteran. Hello, hosts. My question is not about the game, the 2007, but how the community that plays 2007 are still not satisfied with what Jagex has given them, even though the petition that was put forward stated that all they wanted was the 2007 servers back, and that's what Jagex has done, with a few tweaks for efficiency here and there. Yet after this, the community still asks for more, like a God Wars dungeon and summoning to be implemented. My question is, do you think that Jagex should just scrap 2007? They put enough time and effort into the present game, and with some of the staff working on 2007, they could be put to better use with the present game, and to stop all these bugs, such as the black screen that everyone seems to be having when they log in, and finish quest lines and stuff like that. Even though I'm not that much of a fan of quests, so thank you for taking the time to read my question, V.
Okay.
So, should they scrap 2007 or not?
No.
No, you know, I think at this point they can keep it around in much the same way that RS Classic stays around. But he does raise an interesting point in that when it came out, it should have been just come out. No, I just think it should be getting the bare minimum of maintenance updates and whatnot, because you give more.
That's you give what one they, thing,
they're going to give more. Or they're going to want more, rather. And that is remember,
what we voted on.
Yeah. And let's remember that going back to 2007, the RS community of 2007, you give them an inch, they want a mile. So let's remember that's the community we're dealing with here. And, you know, they said it was going to be that specific snapshot in time, and you know, it just so happened that the snapshot they had was from a few weeks before God Wars came out, so I can understand why people want God Wars. If they were to bring that in, then maybe that might be something worth doing, but if it's going to take an inordinate amount of time to do that, I would say no. If they're going to bring Nex in with the God Wars as well, that absolutely not. I mean, at that point, you're developing two separate games. So, I think it, now that it's here, just leave it as it is. No more content updates to it, just maintenance.
And, you know, remember, we voted on that. People voted and said, you know, we didn't reach enough votes to say regular updates for OSF. We just supported, yeah, you know, bot control and maintenance. That was what you guys voted for. If, you know, it's like hating on the president, but you didn't vote for him or her in the future.
Are you talking to me?
No, I didn't talk to you.
Okay.
How on earth can Shane vote for any president, even if he wants to?
Oh. It's like, you know, you don't like the politician who's in office. You don't like your mayor. Did you vote? No. Well, why are you complaining?
I love that every attitude. Vote.
Mm-hmm. You didn't vote. There, that's not our fault. Did you make your voices heard? Yeah. No.
Yeah, and you know, as far as I know, we're approaching the 6 month. The 6 month timescape, and it should be time for them to start charging for it. So I would like to see them carry through on that.
Yeah, remember we said it'll be free for 6 months. It was going to be free, pay regular membership, but we didn't get enough votes. Well,
yeah,
you guys didn't. I voted. You, Shane, you didn't vote because you didn't care for it. I voted just because, you know, if why, it's good for the community. You guys, the rest of you people, vote no. Because probably 07, like Shane, you don't like it, you don't care for it. Those are playing right now. Did you vote? Probably not.
Yeah. And like I said, we've made a conscious decision with this show that we're
really,
not...
you did, not us.
Well, I make the decisions and you come along with them. But
see?
We made a decision that we're not supporting 07 here. Because it's much the same situation like when we started the website initially. RS2 had just been released, so we made a decision. Do we also support RS Classic? Because at that time, some people were still playing RS Classic. We made a decision then, no, we're not supporting RS Classic. So that's the same kind of decision we have here. And I see in another dozen years, 07 becoming the old-fashioned RS Classic. So that's the way it works.
In a couple of years, isn't it already?
Well, no. I mean, after it was released.
Hmm.
So, I mean, like 2017 or so. We'll see that it's like the old classic of RS. When we're on RuneTech 10 and HTML7 graphics. Just kidding.
Okay.
All right. Moving on to tech news. Thank you, everybody, for the questions this week. If you have a question, you can submit that on Z Forums. Topic goes up on Mondays. So if you've never visited the RSBNB forums, that would be a good time to do so. Send in a question, introduce yourselves, poke around, see what else we got. RSBNB.com/forums. And we also have the audio questions where you can submit those. Just email them to questions@RSBNB.com. Or leave us a voicemail on Skype or the Google Voice number. Add RSBNB update or phone them in to 571-572-2632. All right. So, tech news. The USB Alliance has finalized the USB 3.1 specification, and it will bring speeds of 10 gigabits per second.
Whoa.
I know, that's pretty fast, eh?
No, we have a USB Alliance.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. USB Alliance. Wow.
Yeah, it's a group of companies and whatnot that develop the standard. You guys didn't know that, did you? Anyways.
No.
It's going to be called Super Speed Plus. The very interesting thing about this is that it seems as though USB 3 is always one step ahead of Intel's Thunderbolt. USB 3, 10 gigabits per second, I can't imagine why you would need faster unless you're looking to transfer video or something like that. But it seems as though this is the ultimate in USB standards for drives and whatnot. Now, a bit of a technical background for those of you guys who are not familiar with how USB works. USB works in that it requires a smart device at each end. So you plug one end into your computer and you plug the other end into your printer, for example. So then these two devices communicate with each other and negotiate how they're going to connect. So that's how USB works. It transfers the data through the cable into your computer, into the USB hub. Now, the major difference between USB and Thunderbolt is inherently faster because it has direct access to the PCI bus on your computer, which is the fastest bus available. So that's the difference between USB and Thunderbolt. Thunderbolt has direct access to the PCI bus, which is as fast as it gets, whereas USB just comes into your computer and then your system handles it, however it handles regular system I/O in that case. So that's why it's looking as though there's no real reason for Thunderbolt now, except if you need access to the PCI bus for hardware. So, I mean, Thunderbolt is becoming an expansion technology, while USB is just advancing further on the storage mechanics. And I see we got a little interesting conversation here going on in Skype about this.
What are you talking about?
One thing I was curious about is that most people are still using like USB 2, though. I mean,
it'll be backwards compatible.
Yeah, I know, but it just seems like they're releasing something that barely any people will use at all.
Well, I mean, your computer probably has USB 3. You built it last year. And computers coming out this time next year are going to be having USB 3.1. So, it happens over time.
I guess so.
So, I mean, there will be a demand for this. External hard drives will be faster. You'll be able to purchase probably RAID arrays or something like that that are ultra fast at 10 gigabits per second. So, nonetheless, it's a good technology, and it's nice to see that this is happening with USB. All right, anything else on that?
Not really.
All right, so the Moto X. So this
Moto
is,
X.
Motorola's first phone since Google bought them. And it's a very interesting question because, or interesting device rather, because it is seen as do or die for Motorola because Motorola really hasn't been able to make a splash into the smartphone arena before, like other companies like Samsung and HTC and, of course, Apple have been able to. So Moto X, was billed as the ultra-configurable phone. Apparently, there are 504 potential versions of it. 18 backplate covers from concrete gray to hot pink. So whatever you want your phone to look like, you can pretty much do it with the Moto X. So I know it'll be coming to Rogers here in Canada. I'm not sure about the U.S. or internationally, but it looks interesting. It's going to be a pure Google Android experience, which is always good. So what do you guys think?
I kind of like how it looks.
Yeah, it does look kind of cool.
It looks like a nice phone, but I don't know. I don't know what the exact size is of it, because, you know, I'm hoping to get through the heads. Like, not everyone wants a giant phone.
It's 65 millimeters wide by 129 millimeters tall. So I don't know if you. It's probably on the same size as the Samsung phones, I'm guessing. Maybe a bit smaller.
Roughly 2 inches wide, and I'm trying to do my calculations. What was the tallness of it?
65 millimeters.
Okay, so that's 2 inches.
Yeah, 2 inches wide.
Okay, so 2 inches wide. And a little what bit about more. How tall?
129 millimeters.
Okay, so that's 13. So roughly 4 to 5 inches tall then. So standard size phone then,
yeah, I guess. It's not overly large.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I like to clip things on my belt, and I don't want a phone that like completely sticks out and makes it look like a giant bullseye.
I told you to get an iPhone, man.
Oh, shut up!
Because I know some of the HTC phones that some of my friends have. They're like a brick, and they're so heavy. I'm like, why would you want to carry this around? Are you like doing weight training or something with it, or like? Yeah. Like, seriously, I just want a phone that can actually fit into my pocket with my wallet and my iPod so I can, you know, not have my pants ripped every time.
You still use an iPod even though you got an Android phone?
Yes. Do you know how much space my iPod has? 160 gigs? Yes.
Okay.
And I'm using 80 gigs of that already, so I think it's probably good for me to not have my stuff on my phone.
I don't get that generation of people.
Yeah. How dare we not use the latest technology?
Anyways.
Okay, sometimes older things are built to last.
Yeah, I will admit the iPod Classic is a nice piece of hardware.
My parents still have a microwave from the 1970s that still works.
Nice.
Yeah. It's an antique.
I've been through three of them in 20 years.
There you go.
All right.
Anyways,
so,
Moto X.
Yeah, microwaves. But the Moto X is 4.7-inch screen, if that gives you any kind of idea as to how big it is, at 1280 by 720, 2 gigs of RAM, 16 gig storage standard. But you do get 2 years of Google Drive, which is 50 gigabytes of online storage, Android 4.2. So that's pretty much what it looks like. It, you know, this would be, I think, a good alternative to the Google Nexuses if I was an Android type person. If I was wanting to go Android, I would probably have a look at this because I would personally not get an Android phone that would not be pure Android experience. So that's what this has going for it in my view. But anyways, let's hope it's successful because, you know, Motorola made so many good phones back in the olden days that they kind of disappeared. So
yeah.
Fingers crossed. All right. So, oh, and it's got a 10-megapixel camera. That's pretty good.
That is.
Yeah. All right. Finally, Microsoft will rebrand SkyDrive after it settles a trademark dispute with British Sky Broadcasting. So, apparently there's a company in Britain called Sky Broadcasting, and they have the trademark to SkyDrive. So after so much marketing on this cloud storage solution that Microsoft has, they need to find a new name for it.
I see, because so they get to use clouds equals sky. I see.
Evidently.
What they did
there. Yeah, you know, I thought about this when SkyDrive came out because I knew there was Sky Broadcasting in the UK and I thought that could be a bit of an issue. So, I mean, the amount of marketing that Microsoft put into this must be huge. I mean, all that gone, and how do you do another marketing campaign in order to rename something from something that you worked so hard on all these years? So, kind of unfortunate for them because remember they also had to rename the Metro interface because someone in Sweden, I think, had a trademark on that name. So
Germany.
Ah, okay. I knew it was European.
It's in the same article. It talks about it.
Yeah, I see. I just got to that. Okay. But, yeah. I wonder what they'll name it.
Micro Drive.
That just sounds ancient, from the 80s.
Micro Cloud.
Rainy Drive. Sleet Drive. I'm just trying to think of weather terms since they're going to the sky. Snowy Drive.
Yeah, I don't know. Hard to say. Why not just Windows Drive? I mean, they got Google Drives. Certainly you can have Windows Drive as well. And you could give it out for free with pretty much any new Windows install. So,
what about Atmosphere Drive?
Or... the Atmospheric Cloud. There you go.
Yeah. The Space Drive. That would be even cooler.
Yeah, they could store their hard drives in space and whatnot.
But... yeah, send a message out to NASA. Hey, you've got to get going on this or we're gonna beat you.
Oh, that's great. All right. So that's pretty much it for tech news. So if your SkyDrive changes some point in the future to something else, this would be why. All right. So, skill of the month. Certainly looking to be an interesting one so far. Defense. Currently got a three-way race kind of going on. Currently, Bletherskite in first place with about 1 million experience gained. Second place is Fish with 521,000 experience gained. And third place is Small Fib with about 300,000 experience gained. So considering at the time of reading this, we're only 2 days in, certainly expected to see results like this. And being a combat skill, I'm betting it's going to be a very interesting month to watch.
Yeah, and we're going to have to see if Bletherskite can defend his lead.
Because it is a defense skill of the month, after all.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, guys. I had to say it.
No, I believe you.
No, that's good. I like that. Excellent. But on the other hand, last month's skill of the month, the Dungeoneering skill of the month, was interesting to say the least. Zahara Knight took first place with 30,293,692 experience gained. Second place was JamAndy52 with 25.6 million experience gained. Then Flash in third with 8.1 million experience gained. Looked like we had a bit of a race going in for third place, but Flash managed to maintain that, so we will give Flash an honorable mention just because he led the second pack, aside from...
We also started with only 500,000, too. That's pretty good, considering everyone else who was in the race had 99 already.
That's well beyond 99.
Yeah.
I mean... It's amazing that we had this many people enter Dungeoneering Skill of the Month, and they all got experience.
I know. And most of them got a significant portion, too. That's pretty good.
Well, yeah, I mean, at level 90 Dungeoneering, you can do a couple runs and get 100,000 XP. So it's a couple runs, at least. But anyways, good work to everybody who participated. Look forward to seeing more of that with this defense skill of the month and watching for people to defend their lead.
Thank you, Shane. I'm glad you appreciate it.
Yes. All right. What do you got to remind us about, dear Trekkie?
Oh, don't forget, we am still having my interface challenge. I got another two submissions coming in. So, you know, come on. Keep it up, guys. Don't forget, 5 mil, my money. It's my money. Don't you guys want a poor liberal to become broke?
Can I enter?
No, your staff.
Oh, okay.
All right, then.
Hmm?
I thought he was Shane, not Staff.
Hmm.
Ah, well, you got the point. Same thing. So.
Same thing. Yeah. To be Staff is to be Shane.
Pretty much. All right, so why don't you tell us what you wrote about this week there, Mr. Kala?
Well, in my Informer Roundup, I went over all of our past articles this month, which had some pretty good ones in there. I especially liked the starter tips for both both for Dungeoneering and for getting into Team Fortress 2, which is ties in well with our PC gaming event. So if it was at a good time for me, I'd probably show up for it. So yeah, hopefully you guys make the right choices, which ties in with Shane's article, and come to read our latest Informer articles, because they're always good. They're coming out this upcoming month, periodically throughout the month, posting it on Twitter, you can find it on the forums. Oh, there's so many good places you can get it from. So hopefully you guys check that out.
Informa articles?
Informa?
Yes.
Sure. Informa. Informa? Oh, I'm not sure what you're going at there.
Click the link in Skype, but anyways, thank you for that roundup. I also believe you have a pick.
I do have a pick. So my pick this month is VGHS, which stands for Video Game High School. It is a web series created by Freddie W. of YouTube fame. Many of you guys might know him as, you know, creating those minute and a half long videos to do with gaming, with all cool special effects and everything. Anyhow, him and a small team of other people, they've created this web series based around this high school in the future, where video gaming has surpassed any sport in popularity, and there's now whole schools dedicated to learning about gaming and that sort of thing. And it's really cool. So anyways, they've made a web series out of it, and the first season premiered last summer, and that was, I believe, 9 episodes long. And he's got a new series this summer, and the second episode was just released yesterday, and they're going to be released for every Friday for the rest of the month. So that's pretty cool. I've been watching through them, and they're like 30 minutes long or so. So it's like a little mini series that you get to watch, and I think it's really cool what they've done. There's all sorts of little references.
Do they play any StarCraft?
God.
They make references to every kind of game genre in there, and it's really neat what they're doing. So if you guys are interested in that sort of thing, you should check it out.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Mac Culler.
What did you say? Sorry, couldn't catch that.
Mac Culler?
McCullough?
Yeah, Mac.
I heard
Culler.
Oh, like Macaulay Culkin?
No.
I'm
never
not
mind.
Home alone, Shane. I'm not home alone.
All right, what have we been up to?
What have we been doing?
Read.
Go first.
Do I have to?
Yes, please do.
I basically just the poorest part of the battlefield of Lumbridge. Voted to let the thieves become more legitimate in Lumbridge and become more powerful so I can make more money. And besides that, I'll just work. Classes start in about 2 weeks. That's about it. Let's go. And now on to the Bedrock. Come on.
What have I been doing? Well, last weekend I went to Vancouver for a concert, which was pretty cool.
One Direction.
No, it wasn't One Direction, Shane, even though you'd wish it was. Don't you listen to them, Shane?
No.
Oh, he's just too embarrassed to answer, that's all. Anyway, so I went to Vancouver, which doesn't happen very often for me, so I was actually having quite a nice little vacation out of it. And since then, I have been going back to work and catching up on StarCraft and all sorts of other cool stuff. Yeah,
well,
I'm enjoying summer.
What did you go see, since evidently I'm wrong?
Since evidently you're wrong, yes. Not the first time, Shane. I'm sure I'll get over it. Caravan Palace, which was the band I went to go see. They are an electro swing group from France, and this was their first North American tour, and they were absolutely a blast. Like, best concert I've ever been to. They had put on such a good show. It was a lot of fun. And if you are interested in that kind of music, I suggest you check them out, because they are really good.
You know, you showed me that video, and it looked more like a dance routine than a song.
It wasn't really. They just kind of play their own music, and I could show you other videos if you want, Shane. I mean, if
yeah,
you
we'll
like
do that later.
We'll yeah, that we should later. Do that later. Yeah. What have you been up to, my friend?
This week I have been collecting stuff for the Battle of Lumbridge, as everybody seems to be doing. But aside from that, on RS, just did a couple of herb farming runs, which I still like to do. And I also started on thieving while I'm waiting for Divination to come out. I want to get 90 thieving so I can have all of player-owned ports unlocked, so I don't need to worry about unlocking things as I go. So, after I get 90 thieving, I'll start on player-owned ports. And for anybody wondering, I am fighting the Monkey Knife Fighters on Ape Atoll. They're very good experience, especially if you bring along a pendant of thievery, or even better, a prismatic pendant. I mean, a prized pendant of thievery, not a prismatic pendant. But yeah, that's all I've been up to. Really not much else to mention. So I think with that being said, we'll see you guys all next week. And remember, let us know what you think Divination will be.
Okay. Cool. Bye, y'all.